Count it off. Hit it.
Hey, it's just a fantasy.
It's just a fantasy.
Image in a magazine.
Image in a magazine.
I've seen a face before.
I've seen a face before.
Somebody walks out of my door.
Take a shower, do the right thing, listen to the Uncut Gems podcast, which is a weekly show where we talk about movies no one else wants to talk about, usually for as long as it takes to watch them. But this is not one of those shows, this is a patrons exclusive tie-in show where we talk about different things. Also movies, but a bit more well known. And this is our major joint episode for March 2024. My name's Jakob.
And my name's Randy.
So I say major joint because this is part of our ongoing 2024 massive project where we talk about the cinema of Spike Lee one by one. Half of it on our main show, half of it here. And the half we do here is the half that is a little bit more well known, at least in our opinion. With some debate.
What do we know?
So take it with a grain of salt. So today we're talking about Do the Right Thing, which is the third movie, feature film that Spike Lee directed, and we're doing this in pairing to the fourth film we just talked about on our main show, which is Mo' Better Blues, so you can go and listen to that on our main show. We're doing it slightly out of order because scheduling. Okay, life happened. But yeah, so this is what we're doing on our Patreon. And actually, by the way, I might as well just quickly mention or just start with a massive thank you to our supporters. Thank you very, very much for you know, sticking with us, for, you know, voting with your wallet, I suppose, and then for giving us your vote of confidence, I suppose. And then, yeah.
Thank you very much.
And with that, might as well just quickly mention as well, a warm welcome to a new free trial supporter. So Adriana has joined our little club on a trial basis. Hopefully she's gonna stay. So
yay,
welcome aboard.
Hi Adriana.
So hope you enjoy what you find here. And that you decide to stay for a bit longer. Yeah. Also, if you still think about, you know, deciding whether to stay for longer or to check us out, then just might as well just tell you that in March we'll also be talking about Blue Steel, which is part of our Big and Low Bigelow director marathon, where we'll talk one by one about the cinema of Catherine Bigelow. So that's time for Blue Steel, some Jamie Lee Curtis. Boy, do we have stuff to say about Jamie Lee Curtis. What was the Terror Train?
It's Terror Train.
There's gonna be a few more occasions to talk about Jamie Lee Curtis this year. No spoilers. And also this month we are talking on our main show, the theme is spring clinging, which is a month of stalker movies. So on our main show we're going to be talking about various movies about weirdly unhealthy attachment problems, and on the Patreon we'll tie in with Misery. That's
yes.
The one. I'm just blanked for a second, but yeah. That's what we're doing on our Patreon, in addition to our main show. So might as well just get cracking. So, but today we're not doing any of that. We're talking about Do the Right Thing. So let's just do that.
Yo, Mook. Mookie.
What?
How come you got no brothers up on the wall?
Man, ask Sal, right?
Hey, Sal, how come you got no brothers up on the wall here?
You want brothers on the wall? Get your own place. You can do what you want to do. You can put your brothers and uncles and nieces and nephews, your stepfather, stepmother, whoever you want, you see? But this is my pizzeria. American Italians on the wall only.
Take it easy,
and
huh?
And you, hey, don't start with me today.
What? Yeah, that might be fine, Sal, but you own this. Rarely do I see any American Italians eating in here. All I see is black folks. So since we spend much money here, we do have some say.
You looking for trouble?
Are you a troublemaker? Is that what you are?
You making trouble?
Yeah, I'm a troublemaker. I'm making trouble.
You're a real ball breaker. Always coming in here looking for trouble, huh? Suppose I busted your head. How would you...
Mookie, Look, you want to get your friend out of here?
What, are you going to kick me out now?
Do the Right Thing was released in 1989. Was written, directed, and produced by Spike Lee. And it's set in a Brooklyn neighborhood on the hottest day of the summer. And the narrative unfolds against the backdrop of a local pizzeria owned by an Italian-American family, where the diverse residents grapple with prejudice, identity, and the consequences of their actions. And that's kind of the most succinct way I could potentially put this sort of synopsis together, because it's a bit of an episodic film that stars, among others, Danny Aiello, Spike Lee, Ossie Davis, Giancarlo Esposito, John Turturro, who has a Joali,
Martin Lawrence,
Sam Jackson, yes. Mm-hmm. Loads of people. loads and loads of people. Robin Harris as well, because we talked about about him on the main show as well. Loads of people. So yeah, the film came together in a very strange way, as in like the idea for... Spike Lee had an idea for this film after he had a conversation with Robert De Niro about an incident from that happened in 1986, which was, I think it's called the... let me just double check. Jesus Christ. The incident at Howard Beach in Queens, where a bunch of white youths accosted a bunch of black youths, I think. Youths, maybe. Anyway, so a fight ensued, and one of the assaulted men tried to run away and got accidentally hit by a car and died. And that was one of the, I think, three similar types of crimes, racially, let's just say, racially, motivated, that's the word I'm going to use, crimes that happened in America in a very short succession. And let's just say since then there have been many more, and there have been even more before that, which is a commentary in its own right. So that motivated Spike Lee to write a script, which he did in just under 2 weeks. And initially he wanted to offer the job the role of Sal, the owner of Sal's Pizzeria, to Robert De Niro, but De Niro said, like, I don't want to do this. He didn't feel it was right for him, and he suggested Danny Aiello, so he did. So they did just that. They took over a small neighborhood somewhere in Brooklyn, which was decrepit and dilapidated. They just painted it over a little bit, cleaned out a crack house. They turned like a burned house into Sam Jackson's radio station. They really cleaned up the neighborhood, and also they had to hire some, I think it was Flowers of Islam, some kind of an organization to be security detail, because the local crack dealers, they insinuated that, I think, the making of the movie was messing with their business. You tell me. So yeah. I mean, there's a longer story about this. Also, yeah, there's a longer story about this movie, but we might as well just like get to all of these things as we go through our own conversation, because I think it's kind of at least my little, let's just say, filter I put all these movies through now, is that I think Spike Lee movies make great conversations, and sometimes these conversations may be better than movies, so let's just see where this takes us. But, you know, just in terms of just staying factual, the movie was released in, premiered in Cannes in 1989 in May 19th, and then was released in end of June in the United States. And it was, there was a little bit of a scandal in Cannes, because Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel really loved the film, to the tune of this was the best film of the year for them. And they really claimed, at least Roger Ebert claimed, that this may have been the best film of all time for him. And then he threatened to boycott the festival when he found out that, I think, it wouldn't be in consideration for Palme d'Or. It wouldn't be in competition. So that was a little bit of a controversy already. There's more controversies to be talking about with regard to this film. But let's just say the movie was both a commercial and a critical success. Lots of critics really liked it. Most people who liked it really loved it. Some people were let's just say there was a guy called Dave Kerr from Chicago Tribune who gave it 2 out of 4 and said it was just like, oh, he resented it for employing white guilt. So I don't know. You want to say that some people were divided on it, but let's just say the overall consensus is that most people thought this movie was brilliant. And then, you know, got nominated for a bunch of awards, some Oscars among others. Another controversy because Driving Miss Daisy won in the same year. And in the same year where Do the Right Thing wasn't even nominated for the Best Picture. And there was additional wrinkle to this controversy where Kim Basinger was announcing the Oscars for the nominees for the Best Film. She actually had the audacity to say, well, we have some great films. I don't have the right quote in front of me. She said something to the effect of, we have the some great films, but the best film of the year is not even nominated.
Yeah.
That's the right thing.
Yeah, there's one not listed here. Yeah.
So there's that. There was more controversy surrounding the film because some people were apparently, and I have a feeling this is the kind, like, I know what kind of people had the sort of these anxieties and paranoias. And, you know, like, if you screen this film in front of American audiences, there will be race riots everywhere because apparently people will just take to the streets and cause trouble. So I don't know if we're going to get to it or not, but that's kind of what happened. This film ended up being a little bit of a lightning rod in some sections of the American society. I'm not sure if it permeated outside of the United States that much, apart from the fact that, you know, like, the film became a massive cultural icon to a level that I think in 1999 it was selected for preservation in the National Library of Congress. It's listed among the Sight and Sound, I think, top 100 films of all time. It's an all-time classic. Now, enough with the plaudits, or let the plaudits begin. So, Randy, what do you think about Do the Right Thing? Let's just begin our own conversation and see what we think about this film.
Cool. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week. I watched this a few days ago. I have seen Do the Right Thing, I'm going to say twice, maybe it was just once, but it's been over a decade since I've seen it. And I love this film. I think this film is incredibly special. One thing watching it this time that I found quite amazing is how it really is sort of a film that comes out of the 70s. I kept thinking that this is Spike Lee's Altman film. Again, it was interesting that Altman came up in our conversations about Mo' Better Blues as well. But the structure of this really made me feel that it's very Altman-esque, very, like, sort of like Nashville. You've got little stories mm-hmm. happening all over the place. You know, there's not really a central plot, and it's driven by a sense of community. Like, it's a slice of life film is what it is. And so I really, really enjoy that when it works. And I think this is fascinating. I really love a certain element in here that the conversation that's the big conversation that's going to come out of this is, you know, the race relations and how there's, you know, the Black community lives under threat of violence from authority and police and the white community. That's the big takeaway, I think, inevitably, because it's a very powerful ending in this film. But I think along the way, we spend a good solid 100 minutes or hour and a half just seeing men and women in this community, mostly men, trying to deal with the issues of the day, like everyday life issues. Like there's a commentary I feel that's in here about, you know, men need to be men, and that means being good role models. You need to take care of your kids, you need to get a job. Like Spike Lee as his character Mook is always running through the streets and he's yelling at, you know, the characters that don't have jobs, get a job. I've got a job. So there's a lot of pride in this. And there's, you know, talk of taking care of your kids. Like this comes up in a couple different conversations. So I think there's an interesting conversation in here that Lee is saying that within his community, within the Black community, you know, there are socioeconomic realities and that there are, you know, there aren't a lot of jobs and, you know, there are troubles that come out of that. And this film talks about that. I find that fascinating. I continue to find it fascinating that Spike Lee is telling these stories.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.